Exodus chapter 3. Exodus is not a difficult book to find. Go to Genesis, and the next book is... About three people knew that. First there's Genesis, then there's... Yes. So it's right in the front of your Bible. And chapter 3 is immediately after chapter 2. And right before chapter 4. So you can find that very easily. Exodus chapter 3. Okay. Exodus 3 verse 10. The Lord speaking. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And the Lord said, Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve me upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. The man Moses was 80 years of age. At the ripe old age of 80, he was given a massive, monumental task to do. He was called by the Lord to lead the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt to the land of promise. When he heard this call from the Lord, when he was commissioned by the Lord, he was initially very reluctant. He was resistant. He was reticent. For you see, he was 80 years old. For the past 40 years, he had been on the backside of the desert, forsaken, seemingly, and forgotten. He was watching his father-in-law's sheep. And as we saw, at that time, in the Egyptian Empire, to be a shepherd was about the lowest occupation you could have. In fact, the Egyptians said, every shepherd is an abomination. So here is Moses, for 40 years on the backside of the desert, when suddenly the Lord appears to him and commissions him from a fiery, burning bush that is not consumed. Moses is blown away. He's hesitant. He's resistant. He's reluctant that day. When the Lord says, I want you to do this, Moses protests. He says in verse 11, Moses said to God, Who am I? Oh, Lord. Come on. Lord, I'm 80 years old. I've been out of the loop for 40 years. I've been out here in the wilderness, in the desert, for four decades. Lord, who am I? He was obviously feeling very insecure and unsure. But the Lord answers him very specifically. The Lord says in verse 12, Certainly, I will be with thee. Certainly, I will be with thee. In other words, Mo, listen up. The question isn't, who am I, like you're asking, but the question is, who's with you? Not, who are you, Moses, but who's with you? It's not, who are you, it's who's with you. And I will be with thee, the Lord says in verse 11. Like Moses, we might say, well, who are we? And the Lord would say, hey, the issue is not who are you, the issue is who's with you. And that's why those disciples, 1,500 years later, those followers of Jesus must have felt something of the same uncertainty. Jesus said, go, in Matthew 28, into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Jesus commissioned his followers and commissioned you and me to go and to see people set free. And those disciples must have thought, just like Moses said, who am I to do this massive, monumental task? It's not who are you, but it's who's with you. For you see, the Lord in Matthew 28, Jesus in Matthew 28, he went on to say, and lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you. It's not who are you, but it's who's with you. And Jesus said to those boys in his day, hey, lo, I am with you. And lo, I am with you. That's the key. The key isn't who am I, the key is who's with me. She was a student at UCLA. She was living a very loose lifestyle, very rebellious, very carnal. She was a party girl. She had a couple of friends that were on her dorm floor that were sharing with her, witnessing to her. Yeah, she liked these friends, but man, she just couldn't buy what they were saying. She couldn't get into their Jesus stuff. And they began to frustrate her a bit. She continued on her loose living until, well, Christmas break, she goes home. She goes home to her family. Now, her family was of a Chinese heritage. Her family was from China a couple of generations previously, and they had that last name that's one of the most common names in the world today, Lo. Her name was Ann Lo. Ann Lo. A Chinese girl at UCLA, witnessed to, under conviction, but hardened her heart and turned away. When she gets home for Christmas break, her mom, who was a believer, who was a Christian, began to share with Anne. Anne, you know that you're living in a way that's not right. It's going to do you in, Anne. It's going to wipe you out. You need to give your heart to Jesus. Well, she just resented that. It angered her. And she walked out on her mother. A few days went by and she was back in the house once again. It was Christmas time and she was opening a present that her mother had given to her for Christmas. When she opened it up, it caused her to feel great consternation. It was a New Testament. And when her mom and the rest of the family walked out of the room, she was just under such conviction. She was so upset. She was so uptight about this New Testament because she knew she was living in a rebellious, sinful kind of way. She just took that Bible and she tossed it into the fireplace where a fire was burning. A few hours later, she walked back into that front room where the fire had been and she rubbed her eyes and she began to cry because she knew what she did was terrible. throwing a New Testament into the fire. She knew that what she did was so wrong. She knew that she was in trouble. And she began to cry, and she went over to where the fireplace was, and she saw there in the fire the Bible that had been charred, nothing but ashes, except for one corner of one page. It was from Matthew's gospel. Anne looked at that. She reached her hand. Anne reached her hand in, and she took out the ashen Bible. It was nothing but ashes except for one little corner, Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 20. And she looked at it. And Anne Lowe couldn't believe what she read as she read that little verse, true story, that said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And lo, I am with you. Her name was Anne, Anne Lowe. And she knew that she hadn't gone too far. That there still was hope. That it could be okay if she gave her heart to the Lord, which she did right then, right there that day. And lo, she became an on-fire believer. And the Lord would say to any of us, just like He said to Anne Lowe, "And lo, I am with you." That's the key. That's the key, disciples, Jesus would say when they were wondering, how can we do this? Take the message of the gospel and preach to the community and preach to the world globally. How can we do this? But Jesus would say, right after He said, "Go into all the world and share the gospel," He said, "And lo, I am with you." That's the key. In our text, that's what's happening here in our story. Moses says, "Who am I?" The Lord says, "Certainly I will be with you." It's not who are you, Mo, it's who's with you. And I'm with you, you see. Now, interesting, because Moses here raises a question. After the Lord says, "I'm with you, Mo," it's not who you are, it's who's with you. I'm with you. But Moses raises this question. Watch this, verse 13. This is a hugely important passage of Scripture. It's very important theologically. If you're a student of the Bible, it's a passage which you should have a keen awareness of and a good grip on. And even if you're not a Bible student, if you just need practical help, listen, this passage has much to say to you today. You see, Moses raises this question. After the Lord says, "I'm going to be with you," Moses says, verse 13, "But when I come to the children of Israel," this congregation that you're telling me to lead, that numbers about 3 million people, by the way, "when I come to them and say, 'The God of your fathers hath sent me to you,' they shall say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" He has this question. Now, in this, Lord, they're going to say, "What's the name of this God that sent you to us? What shall I say?" This idea, "What's your name?" Moses is asking, not for the sake of identification. Moses already knows who this God is who's talking to him. How do I know that? Look back in your chapter 3, verse 6. God identifies himself to Moses before Moses asks this question. He says, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. So it wasn't a matter of identification. Moses knew that he was talking with and talking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he hid his face. Nor was it an issue of conversation. It wasn't identification. He knew who he was talking to. Nor was it conversation. He wasn't just trying to make small talk. Hey, what's your name? Like, what's your sign? It wasn't a small talk kind of thing, you know. It wasn't a conversational deal. It wasn't asking for identification either. So what's going on here? What is Moses doing? A couple of things. It wasn't for identification. It wasn't simple, idle conversation. But it was, first of all, communication. I want to know your name, he says. I need to know your name. Why? Now keep in mind, God, listen, God, understand this. God is not a name. It's a title. God's name is not God. That's a title. Like Mr. President. Now, Bill Clinton's name is not Mr. President. It is right now, while he's in that office, it's a title. And that's his title, at least for a while. He has that title right now, anyway. We'll see. But be that as it may, that's not his name. Mr. President is not his name. It's a title. As long as he's in that office, he can be addressed as Mr. President. But that's not his name. It's a title. Like Your Highness, or like Emperor. God is not a name. Most people don't understand that. God is a title. There are many gods. In fact, the Bible says that Satan is the god, small g, the god of this world. There are many gods. Moloch and Ashtaroth and Mammon. Marduk and Baal and so forth and so on. The Bible identifies many gods, small g. They're false gods. They're lying gods. They're demonic entities. There's only one true and living God. But there are many small g gods, if you would. So God, you must understand, is a title. It's not his name. Now here Moses says, I want to know your name. I know that you're the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that you are the supreme entity. But what's your name? Why? When you really know someone's name, you can communicate with them very effectively. For example, you're in the parking lot of Walmart, and somebody calls across the way to you, hey, Jeff! Or, hey, Mary! Or, hey, Peter John, or, hey, Britta, or Bucky. Immediately, when you hear your name, your ears perk up. They've got your attention. You know that somebody has some sort of a relationship with you, you see. It's not just, hey, dude, or hey, bro, or hey, bud. There's something deeper than that going on. Someone has spotted you and recognizes you. They have your number, if you would. They know who you are. There's communication then possible in a deeper way. We might say, I want to know who you are. I want to be in touch with you. So give me your email address. Or give me your website. Or give me your fax number or your phone number. I want to keep in touch with you. That's what Moses is saying here, essentially. Lord, I want your email address. I want your fax number. Lord, if it's true, if I'm going to lead this people, 3 million in number, across the wilderness, Lord, please, give me your website. Let me keep in touch. I want to be in communication with you. That's the idea here. What's your name? I know your title. I know that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but what's your name? What's your name, you see, for communication? Secondly, perhaps more importantly, the name deals not only with communication, but with revelation. What's your name, Moses pleads that day. Not for the sake of identification or conversation, but because he wanted to have communication. And more than that, he wanted to have revelation. Why? Because in Bible days, the name of a person was linked to that person's nature, an indication of their nature. Now, we name people just whatever sounds good to our ears. We look at a kid and we say, well, I think I'm going to name her Wind or Breeze or something cool like that. Or I'm going to name him, you know, Jethro or something. We just choose names for all sorts of often dumb reasons. But in Bible times, it wasn't that way. The name was linked directly with the nature. And certainly that is true when it comes to the name of the true and living God. The name is linked to and is a revelation of His nature. I know you're the God of Abraham, but tell me about your nature. Who are you? As far as your nature goes, what's your nature like? And by the way, for you that are newer here, listen carefully. When you hear people pray in Jesus' name, they're doing what Jesus taught us to do. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But when you pray in Jesus' name, that's not a phrase to just tack on the end of a prayer. Lord, that guy broke my heart. Help him get into a terrible car wreck in Jesus' name. Lord, that guy did me wrong. Help his business to go belly up in Jesus' name. Jesus wasn't saying, if you add on those three words, in Jesus' name or in my name, I will do it. No, no, no. A lot of people add that phrase, though. They think it's sort of like a way to sign off. You know, 10-4, good buddy. Over and out. Abracadabra, whatever it might be. That's not it. When Jesus said, if you pray anything in my name, he's saying, if you pray anything that's according to my nature, if it's in harmony with my heart, if it's congruent with my person, if it's what I would do, if it reflects how I work, if it's in harmony with my purposes and plan and character, then I'll do it. If you pray in my name, that is, if you're praying in harmony with my nature, I'll do it. You know, a lot of Christians, a lot of us didn't know that for a lot of years. We thought you just added on those three words, in Jesus' name, and that would make your prayers heard. Nah. The idea is it in harmony with the nature of Jesus Christ? If so, Jesus said, I will do it. I'll answer your prayer if it's prayed in my name, according to my nature, in harmony with my character, you see. So, the name is related to, the name is correlated with the nature. So follow this through with me. What's your name? Not just I need your email address or your fax number, but what's your nature? And God, for the first time here in Exodus 3, this is why this passage is pondered on by people, sages, theologians, throughout the ages. It's got huge relevance because God is going to identify His name right here. What's your name? And God said, verse 14, God said to Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. My name, I am. I am. That's your name. I am what? Moses would say. Your name is I am. I am what? The answer is, I am. whatever you have need of. Moses, you're on a journey. The task before you is huge. And you want to know who I am, since I will be with you as I promised to be. I am whatever you need. Notice, not just I am whatever you need, but it's I am in the continuous present tense. I am, not I used to be, not I was, but I am. Yesterday I was at North Medford High School watching Benjamin and the Medford Broncos take on the Rogue River Eagles in a Pop Warner football game. And I was sitting there watching Benny play, and I began to think back to when I used to play Pop Warner football. I played for the Santa Clara County Hornets for 1 year. In those 4 years when I was down there at that region around those Pop Warner eligibility seasons, our team won the national championship 3 times. The national championship. 3 times, 3 years out of 4. I played 1 year, the year we didn't win the championship, the year we didn't win the league, the year we didn't win a game. 0-8, the Santa Clara County Hornets, the year that I played. Be that as it may, I was thinking about playing on this team that had tremendous pride and all kinds of history. And I was sitting there, and it's amazing what happens when you're sitting there and you're thinking about your old football days. It's amazing, the older I get, the better I was. As the years go by, I think back of me playing for the Hornets and making fantastic catches and bone-jarring tackles and fumble recoveries and all. The older I get, the better I was. Have you noticed that to be true? You know, some things kind of happen and you start to reminisce and you go, I wonder, not, I know. The Lord here doesn't say, Moses, here's my name. I was. But sorry, I'm not anymore. Or you should have seen me 50,000 centuries ago. It was awesome, Mo. It was awesome. It wasn't I was, or nor was it I'm gonna be. Hey, Moses, I've got some problems now, and I'm not all, but stick around, Moses. I'm evolving into a higher God being. It's not the I'm gonna be. It's not the I used to be. My name, Moses, is I am. I am immutable, unchangeable, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Rock solid. I am. That's my name. I am whatever you need. I am not I used to be, not I'm gonna be, but I am. I am presently. I am. No wonder. No wonder. No wonder in John 18, they came to get him. They came to get him, God manifested in the flesh. God dwelling among us. God, Emmanuel, God with us. They came to get him. They came to get Jesus. The feet were marching. The torches were flickering. The swords were glistening as they came into the garden that evening. They came there to capture him. They came there to take him away, perhaps 200 in number. And Jesus, God in the flesh, Jesus said to those soldiers, perhaps numbering 200, whom seekest thou? Who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth, they said. Then Jesus, there in John 18, said, I am. The word he is in italics. It means it shouldn't be there. It's not there in the Greek. He simply said, ego eimi, I am. And those soldiers all fell down backwards. They were slain in the spirit, if you would. They were wiped out. Those enemies of Christ, those who came to put ropes around Christ, he said, I am. Boom! And they're wiped out. It was the declaration of deity. I am. I am the I am was the implication. And they, those soldiers, fell down backwards like dead men. I am. I am. Now listen carefully. Because Jesus, he came to tell us clearly what this means, this mystery, this I am thing, what it really means. I am. I am the bread sent from heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the true vine. Jesus Christ filled in the blank. I am. I am what? Moses would say. Jesus would come on the scene that day, and Jesus would say in his time, I am the way, the truth, the life, the door, the good shepherd, the true vine, and on and on. Now I understand the nature of the Father, who God really is. Philip in John 14, what did Philip say? Oh, Jesus, show us the Father and it will suffice us. Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you so long? Don't you know that he that hath seen me hath what? Seen the Father. I am. You know who God is. You know the nature, the character of the Father by looking at me. Now listen very carefully. I'm getting close to getting done, but I need you to tune in because this is really important stuff, you see. Jesus came and declared, I am. Just as God in Exodus 3 tells Moses, this is my name for all of eternity, a memorial forever. I am. For many years, I didn't fully understand this, and I thought that Jesus was the great I give, not the I am. I give bread. I give deliverance. I give direction. I give strength. I give healing. Mm-mm. He's more than that. Jesus would have you, the Lord would have us know tonight, right here. You that say, I just need deliverance. I need a healing. I need some money. I need some bread. I need some companionship. I need something. The Lord would say, it's not something that you're craving. It's someone. I am the bread. You think you need bread, but it's me that you're craving. I am your deliverance. It's not something I give to you. It's who I will be for you each step of the way, step by step, day by day. Oh, I just need to know which way do I go, which way do I go? I'm just stuck. Give me directions. The Lord says, I am the way. I don't give you directions. I am the way. It would be like when I pick up one of my kids, Benjamin or Mary, or Peter, or Christy, or Jesse when they were little, and I would pick them up and put them on my shoulders, and I would start walking. And they would sit there and hold on to my hair. And where did they go? They went wherever the Father decided would be the best place for them to go at that moment. Did I give them directions? No. Did I tell them the way? Uh-uh. I am the way. They just sat there, held on to me, and ended up in the right place. Oh, Lord, I just need to know your will. The Lord just says, sit tight. Hold on. Stay close. I am the way. Why do you want something from me? When in reality, I am everything that you need. Why do you want something from me that you'll take and go your way and forget about me when I want to be your health, your healing, day by day, moment by moment, step by step? If I just gave you something, you would run on your way. I am what you're looking for. It's me. Benny had a party on Friday, his 11th birthday. And little Mark, one of his buddies, came over and brought him a present. And the present was a bunch of baseball and football and basketball cards in a box, along with a poster of Mark McGuire hitting number 62. He opened it up, and Ben thought, oh, this is great, Mark. Wow. But wow, look at this box, Ben said. The box was a Michael Jordan shoebox, you know, the kind of box that shoes come in. And Mark says, hey, wait a minute. Hey, that's my shoebox. My mom took my shoebox and put your present in it. And so I'm sitting there and Tambo's sitting there and Tam says, well, Mark, do you want the box back? Yeah, I want my box back, he says. And he took his box away and back home with him that day. You know what? We think we want the baseball cards or we want the Mark McGuire poster. In reality, we want the box. See? We want the entity, the reality, because inside the box are the things that we crave, but the box contains, it's the Lord, you see? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Why am I stressing this? Because it takes a lot of us many years to finally get it. That He is not the I give, He is the I am. I am everything you need. Walk with me. Trust in me. Look to me. Don't turn your back on me. And John, if you do that, you will find that I am everything you have need of. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I want you to see as we're about wrapping this up. Please be patient. Thank you for your attention. Listen. My name is I Am. I Am. It's the Tetragrammaton. The Tetra whatathon? It's the Tetragrammaton. It means that the I Am that we're reading about here, that's in capitals in your text, if you can still see your Bibles, the pronunciation of that, we don't know to this day. You see, the Jewish people felt the name was so holy that it should be only spoken by the high priest once each year. It was too important. It was too grand. It was too glorious. It was too high. It was too holy. It was too other. It shouldn't be spoken in everyday vocabulary. Only the high priest would dare utter the name. The ineffable, unspeakable name. I Am. So what they would do in the Bibles, in the scrolls, in the texts, they would simply abbreviate it to YHWH, the Tetragrammaton. Whenever you read your Old Testaments, gang, and you come across capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord, in capitals, it's the tetragrammaton, YHWH. It says Lord in your English Bibles. But the Hebrews have no way of pronouncing it, for you see, the high priest knew the name, but it was soon lost. The pronunciation, the articulation. They would just say the name. They would just write YHWH, no vowels. So what does YHWH sound like? Well, for years and years, people said Jehovah. In more recent decades, the last three decades or so, scholarship has said, no, it's probably not Jehovah. It's probably Yahweh. So some say Jehovah, some say Yahweh. But no one knows for sure how to say YHWH because there's no vowels. They didn't put the vowel marks in intentionally that people wouldn't know how to pronounce it. It was too holy. The name, the nature, this email, website, fax machine information, the name, the character. You would just simply say the name. You wouldn't say Yahweh or Jehovah or whatever it might be, the pronunciation. No one knows the way it's pronounced. But wait, but hold on. Moses knew the pronunciation of the name. He knew the name. I told you earlier, you call across the parking lot, Jeff or Gina or Jeff or Jennifer or whoever it might be. Your ears perk up. Moses knew the name. And here's what I want you to see tonight. How is it that Moses knew the name? The answer is profound and important. How did Moses know the intimate, glorious, holy, powerful, all-encompassing, eternally memorialized name of God? How did he know? Listen, how did he have such intimate knowledge? How did he gain such important understanding? Listen, how did he know the pronunciation, the articulation of the name? Listen, he knew because he knew. Because he asked, what's your name? The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. Here is power. Here is relationship. Here is intimacy. Here is something special, unknown by anyone previously. And Moses simply said, Lord, what's your name? And God said, I am. And Moses heard the pronunciation. He grabbed the information. He understood the implication. He gained the revelation because he simply asked. That's it. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor John. It's not that simple. Of course, he was given that intimate insight, that revelation, that understanding, because he needed to know. That's what some would say to me. That's what some would say to you. He needed to know. Why? Because it says right here, and if you can see, look with me. If not, listen carefully. Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers hath sent me. They shall say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? They're going to ask me, what is your name? So tell me. Now here's what you need to see, Bible students. They're going to ask me, what's your name? So I need to know. This is important stuff so I can tell them. But guess what? When you read the story, they never asked him that. They never said, Moses, what's the name of God who sent you to us? God knew that they wouldn't ask. God could have said, so you need to know my name, eh? So that you can tell the people when they ask, well, what's the name of the God that sent you to us? Well, just cool your jets, Moses. Don't worry about it, Mo. They're not going to ask that question. God didn't say that. Even though God knew that Moses' reasoning, I need to know your name so I can tell them, would be unimportant, inapplicable, not necessary. Yet God gave Moses the name, the pronunciation, the intimacy anyway, which encourages me a whole lot. Because it means this. You're here tonight, and you've got a monumental job before you. A huge task ahead of you. Raising that daughter of yours. Being the wife that you're supposed to be. Shining for the Lord in the dark job site that you work at. Just getting through the week ahead for some of you physically. There's need. Lord, I need to know your nature. Not to get something from you, Lord, but I need to be close to you. I need, Lord, for you to be the bread that satisfies and strengthens me. I need for you, Lord, to be the shepherd that would lay down your life for me and then live inside of me to see me through the week ahead. I need you, Lord. I need to know your nature. I need to know your name. Let the theologians debate about the tetragrammaton. Lord, I need to hear from you tonight. Because I'm concerned about this relationship. Where should it go? I'm concerned, Lord, about my own spiritual condition. What's wrong? Why is my soul so dry, Lord? You've called me to go into the world and preach the gospel. You've told me to let my light so shine before men that they may see good works and glorify you in heaven. But Lord, who am I? I'm on the backside of the desert. I'm out of the loop. I've been estranged from you, Lord. And now I'm in need. Who in this amphitheater tonight could dare to say, hey, I have no needs. I have no concerns, no needs, no questions, no burdens, no problems. Who would dare say that tonight? I think none of us. Everyone would say like Moses today, who am I? And the Lord says, I am with you. Then, Lord, who are you? And the Lord will give revelation to you and to me if we ask of his name in a personal way. You and I can hear in our ear the name. Oh, the Bible says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. He wants to whisper in your ear. He wants to write on my heart. His name, His nature, in a way that others may not understand, in a way that others may not be able to pronounce, in a way that others may not relate to. But it's for me, just like it was for Moses. Moses needed to know. And God said, okay, I'll tell you. And He spoke His name to Moses that day. And what you need to know, God will say to you tonight, okay, I'm here. If you'll just ask of me, I'll whisper in your ear. Revelation of my nature and my name that others cannot pronunciate, that others can't relate to, but it's for you, for your situation, because I am what you need tonight. If like Moses, you'll ask me. If you won't ask me, then you'll never have that knowledge of me. I don't despise or look down on, the Lord would say, the burdens, the fears, the intimidation that you feel in your heart today. They're going to ask me, Moses, they're going to ask me, what's the name of the God that sent me? No, they're not. But God didn't say, Moses, grow up, get a life. God said, okay, Mo, I'll tell you my name today. That's the Father. My question is, the issue tonight isn't loneliness. The issue tonight isn't cancer. The issue tonight isn't, how am I going to meet that car payment next Monday? The issue tonight isn't, why is He so mean to me? The issue tonight is a revelation of the nature and presence of God the Father with you. He will be all that you need. And He'll make Himself known to you personally if we ask. If we pray, if we say, who are you? What is your name? I know that you are Yeshua, Jesus. But for me, personally, Lord, what do you want to reveal to me tonight? I need you. I'm calling out to you like Moses did 4,000 years ago. So too, Lord, on this evening, I need to hear from you. What's your name? Let's pray, shall we? Now, Father, I would ask in the name of Jesus that those of us that are aware of some stress point, some problem, some difficulty, some intimidating task, some burden, some concern, some fuzziness in our thinking, some confusion in our soul, some trouble, some anguish, some pain. That tonight, Lord, we would do what Moses did in his day. That we would call out to you. That you would be the I Am. For each and every person here this evening. And that each one of my sisters and brothers would hear what you would say to them tonight, this day.
that I am is my name. Ask of me, and you shall see. Yesterday and today and forever the same. I am is my name. I am is my name.
Because I'm a pastor, I feel stuff like this real deeply, I guess. I know that I could dismiss this service right now and people would go their way and get in their cars and drive away and say, that was interesting, or that was long, or that was cold, or whatever it might be. But I suggest to you tonight, before we go our way, that we do something novel for a Sunday morning service. That we pray. Really pray. Now, there's no way that I can make you do this. You can sit there and squirm or sleep or let your mind wander, but you'll be all the poorer. It's a real dumb way to spend these next moments. Or you can say, Lord, you've brought me to this place tonight to tell me that you are the I Am, that you will whisper in my ear a special revelation if I'll just ask you. Even if my reasoning is lame or my logic is faulty, like Moses's was, yet you still came through for him and gave him revelation. As Rick shares, a simple song and then plays for a few minutes on the guitar, I'm going to ask you to pray. Every one of you. About what? About what problems you're wrestling through. About what feelings you're struggling with. About what concerns that are crushing you. About the fuzzy stuff that you can't quite sort through. About the dryness of your own heart and soul. About family members that you're feeling anxiety for. Whatever it might be. I'm going to ask you to pray in a whisper. I'm going to ask you not to let your mind wander. I'm going to ask you to pray with your lips moving. Pray in a whisper. Not so the person next to you can hear. They'll be scandalized and shocked. But just so that you will form the words, why? So that your mind doesn't wander. Oh, but John, it's cold. We've been here a long time. I know that. But I also know, I know our Father. He is the I Am who will meet any person who takes the time and makes the effort to say, Father, here's my situation. And He will meet you, I guarantee.